Welcome to the Dynasty Roundtable Podcast. My name is Seth Dewald, that's Matt Babich. And today we are tasked with dealing with some strange, some unexpected news that dropped for several NFL players. And, you know, discussing some disturbing news too. And as we'll get to, Quinshon Judkins is one of our first players that we're going to talk about. But that is not the lead, is it? That's not the lead story today. The lead story is Rashee Rice. And well, before I do that, I'm putting the cart ahead of the horse, as I tend to do. We're talking about polarizing players in Dynasty and what to do with them. In this episode, we're going to be talking about buying, selling, and hold. We're going to play a little buy, sell, hold. And we're going to talk through some of these very recent developments in the NFL. And Matt Babich, how are you doing? What was your reaction when all the news dropped today? Tell me where you're at.
I'm doing great. So I certainly was not expecting to see this news, as no one was. It's interesting. I don't think we have as much to talk about on Jordan Addison, but Rice and Addison, both of their cases came to an abrupt conclusion today. It seems that both were kind of plea deals that were made. Addison definitely was a plea deal. Rice is a little bit different. Follow Drew Davenport on Twitter for a great legal breakdown. He's pretty much the only one in the business that breaks this stuff down to that degree, and who I follow for all these updates. But my original take is, okay, look, if you are drafting Rashee Rice at the 2-3 turn and redraft, or if you were buying him at his dynasty cost, and you did not think that there was any chance that he was going to be suspended this season, I don't know what to tell you. Because even us, not once did we say he is not going to be suspended in 2025. We did say it grows more likely that he will not be suspended in 2025, which was true. And this, yep. This case ended very abruptly. It does lead me to believe that Rashee Rice had a much, much worse sentencing coming his way if he took this case to trial and extended things. 5 years of probation and 30 days of jail time to serve at some point in there. People were calling it a slap on the wrist, kinda, but also not really. Like, that's an insane amount of time to be on probation. And then you do have to spend 30 days in jail at some point. So it's not necessarily the lightest sentence that he could have gotten. Drew Davenport thinks that it's going to be around 4 games. He said 2 to 4. He thinks 4. I thought 4 as well. He's a young kid. He spent the entire last season amidst all this and didn't get in trouble, right? So he proved that he can stay out of the headlines. He can stay out of trouble for a year. He can start to correct the things that are going on. So I viewed this as something that was possible. And if it's 4 games from redraft, I don't care. His ADP is going to get pushed down way too far. From a dynasty perspective, I don't care either. It makes even less sense for his dynasty value to be impacted based on a early season suspension, what we think will be an early season suspension. Technically, nothing has been doled out yet. It could come midseason. I think the NFL is going to get him and Addison's rulings in as quickly as possible. These are NFL teams that have to deal with the ramifications of this, and they have that in mind. So with Rice, nothing's changing for me. I am going to buy. There's a lot of Xavier Worthy believers out there. A lot of people that think Xavier Worthy can take that Rashee Rice role. Hell, I've seen people out there saying Jalen Royal's stock going up. Respectfully, shut up. Stop. Please. It's that specific take is for clicks, and I'm not here for it. If you think the Kansas City Chiefs, who looked starkly different with Rashee Rice in and out of the lineup last year, and if you think Xavier Worthy was that good towards the end of last year, all on you. Like, you know, that's your prerogative. But that's not what I saw. Seth, I don't think that's what you saw. This is a long way of me saying that I'm not treating this any differently because we knew this was going to happen. We just didn't know when. And that's what makes me mad about the fantasy football content creation industry. We're making a mountain out of this molehill that we've known has existed or will exist for quite some time but now that it's concrete news, people have clicks and engagement to generate. So they go on and they say all these disastrous things, because positivity and optimism, Seth, I don't know if you know this, it doesn't have the same cachet as it used to back in the day.
Part of our responsibility, in my opinion, as content creators, is to be honest and to tell the truth as we see it. And yes, you're correct. These people out here that are chasing the Rashi Rice headline clicks, one, it's probably a part of their job, but it's a part of their job for, you know, probably the wrong reasons, as you said, because they need to generate engagement. And that's just never something we're going to do on this channel. Like, we've been consistent throughout this whole time with Rashi Rice. We're huge fans of the talent and the player and the role within the offense. Like, going back to 2023, I mean, it was insane what he did in those last games in 2023 into the 2024 season. He was well on his way to be a top five wide receiver, and he was definitely going to be that still this year. And he still probably will be this over the middle type Travis Kelce role player in the offense that's just a zone beater. I mean, go look it up on Reception Perception if you have a subscription. Like, I highly recommend it. Go read the Rashi Rice profile, as I have done. That's how they use Rashi Rice, as a zone beater over the middle of the field. And they just pepper him with targets. That's what they do with Rashi Rice. And if you're asking a 5'11", 5'10", 160-pound wide receiver to go over the middle of the field again and again and again, you might be able to get away with it for a few weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks at the end of the season. But eventually, that's not going to work out so well. A 6 foot tall, 200 pound wide receiver like Rashi Rice is much more fit for that type of role in the offense. And it's just obvious. And that's what the Chiefs like to do. They like to attack the middle of the field with those speedsters on the outside. That's what they did with Travis Kelce for years. And that's where what they started to do with Rashi Rice towards the end of the 2023 season, at the beginning of the 2024 season. It was clear as day to you and I. And we said, yeah, it's likely he's not going to get suspended, because according to Drew Davenport and everything that we read, and we saw the ebbs and flows, there were people saying, oh my God, how could you possibly draft Rashi Rice? He has the suspension looming over his head. And then we get the news, oh, he's likely not going to be suspended because the criminal case has been put off or whatever. I'm not a legal expert. And so you saw the ADP shift back. Now everybody's in on Rashi Rice. And today, when the news drops, we're recording this on Thursday. This is probably going to drop maybe over the weekend on Monday or something. Like, you saw it again, people going the other way with it for clicks. And that, again, that's not something we're going to do. Now, we might put Rashi Rice on this thumbnail, or Quinshon Judkins on the thumbnail, because that's just smart to do. But the title and the subject that we're talking about will be true and honest. And that's my promise to you. If we ever start straying away from that, I expect that we'll have some difficult conversations. Then I expect the chat to call us out, because that's what should happen, right? And let us know what you think about Rashi Rice and this whole deal, because honestly, I was a little surprised. It did come out of nowhere, but I wasn't shocked. And let's just get into Rashi Rice, and let's talk about whether he's a buy, a sell, or a hold right now. And I still think he's a buy, because like you said, if it's four games, I saw 2 to 4 games, and that's according to a Chiefs beat writer. 2 to 4 games. So four
the
games.
NFL has never been hefty with punishments for first time offenders. This is what blows my mind too, is we always get these cases and we're like, oh, it could be huge. And except for domestic violence, the NFL has never displayed that put down the hammer. I mean, the most recent example I can think of is Kareem Hunt getting 8 games. And he kicked a chick in the face, like, and there was a video, we could start comparing crimes against each other, and that's not something we want to get into. But the point is, it's rare for the NFL to start doling out 6+ game punishments, willy nilly. And I do think the fact that he's already spent a year and a half outside of this with no issue is going to play a role. And then one last thing, I see a lot of people saying, my concern is with Rashee Rice jumping on a moving train midseason. I don't get that either, because when Puka Nacua went down with a knee injury week one, I mean, he basically missed the entire week one, right? He got knocked out of that game pretty early, if I remember correctly. No one said, oh, Puka Nacua is going to have trouble getting on a moving train when he comes back from this injury. When A.J. Brown tweaked his hamstring early in the season, or if someone had a preseason injury right now, a veteran, or at least someone who's had a couple of years of experience, had an injury that would cost them the first few weeks, no one would go around saying it's going to be hard for him to catch on to, get on a moving train. But for some reason with the suspension, we're acting like missing a few game weeks is all of a sudden going to be incredibly detrimental to Rashee Rice. He's not dead. He's not in jail. He's practicing with the team. So I don't think that's a big deal either. So if you see that floating around.
And this is also dynasty. Like, okay, yes. Maybe it takes him a little while to get into game shape. Does this hurt his redraft stock? Yeah, it's going to hurt his redraft stock. He's probably going to go back down to being a fourth or fifth round pick, I would imagine. I at that price, I think I'm still in on Rashee Rice. Same. Because it's just like, you know, if you're coming back from an injury, it's not even as bad as coming back from an injury, because he is, but he's had a lot of time to recover from it. And it, like, that was never the issue. It was this looming suspension that was potentially the issue. The hammer dropped on him, and it was, you know, I think the punishment fits the crime, although I'm not one to judge, because I'm not a judge. I'm not, you know, I've never been a part of a jury. So I leave it to the legal experts to tell me what is right and what's fair. And so I don't know, man. I am still in on this player. I'm still in on this situation. And I keep coming back to, we play dynasty, man. And if Rashee Rice can help my team, and if I can get him at a discount right now, especially in the playoffs, the fantasy playoffs, if I have a good team, I like elite players, and it's been my opinion this entire time that Rashee Rice in this situation is an elite producer in fantasy football, and I think the numbers back me up on that. Anything else to add before we move on to maybe a more controversial player?
I think I've spoken my piece.
All right, let's and I'll lead the way on this because this is another potentially awkward situation. Quinshon Judkins. Buy, sell, or hold. So I will start by saying I said I was all in on Trevion Henderson, and I was. I was very close to saying I was all in on Quinshon Judkins, because I think the guy's a stud. I think he's a true three-down running back at the NFL level. That's clearly, in my opinion, what Cleveland was drafting him to be based on their usage of their running backs last year. They were number 28. In rush attempts last year with Jerome Ford, and clearly not in what he used to be, Nick Chubb at running back. And the previous 2 years, they were fifth in rush attempts per game. So they clearly want to get back to the running game. And I think Quinshon Judkins to them was a way to do that. Now, obviously, if he's done what he's done, and it really does look like he has based on the evidence, it's a horrible thing. He's a piece of shit for doing it. We all know that. But it's not my job to be the freaking morality police here. Like, he will have his day in court. You know, this is one of my least favorite things to talk about. I have to assess his value in dynasty, right? And he's fallen 36 spots in keep trade cut. He's down to RB20. And I think it's probably too early for Rashee Rice's. I mean, Rashee Rice hasn't moved. And I would imagine, okay, so Rashee Rice is down three spots. I don't know if that's, who knows? It might be, it may have moved more by the time this episode gets published. But I have to believe that even if he gets an 8-game suspension like Kareem Hunt got, he's still a 21-year-old running back in a situation that I really liked. I know a lot of people didn't like the situation, but I really liked it from a usage perspective. And if you're telling me that I can trade right now and maybe it'll get worse and maybe I should be patient, I don't know. If I can trade Terry McLaurin for Quinshon Judkins because they're ranked back to back and keep trade cuts rankings, yeah, I want Quinshon Judkins. Like, I think he's a buy right now, but I also think that you should be patient because they're, as this thing continues to progress, it may get worse. And then who knows, circumstances change and he might be suspended for longer than what Kareem Hunt got suspended for. Who knows what's going to happen. But anyway, Matt, how do you feel about Quinshon Judkins right now, and how do we best navigate this situation?
Yeah, so it's tough, obviously, as you said, you know, kind of being morality police. And so I'm not really going to talk about the act itself, but I am more of a hold because I don't think his market value has gone down enough. Plus, I think there's still a little bit too much unknown. This is a very team-by-team basis to me. If you're a win-now team and you are willing to take the risk and say, I don't care what happens, I don't care if he's not playing in his expected role for 2 years until he gets past this, he's a 21-year-old running back, I'm going to buy. That makes sense. If you're a rebuilding team, same thing could apply. That's potentially worth the risk for you. It does come down to risk tolerance, and that is a team by team situation and a person by person situation. I am in the middle here where I'm going to hold. I'm not looking to sell the shares I have of Judkins. I am putting offers together in my head, but I'm not sending them yet, if that makes sense. I do think the value will dip when the suspension comes in, because I do think people are going to work off of the assumption, like, you know, Ray Rice got a 2-game suspension. Joe Mixon technically served a suspension in college and didn't really have to serve anything in the NFL. So there is just such a wide array of things that go on. And who knows, the victim is currently a part of the prosecution and does want that to go forward. Look, technically speaking, if she withdraws today and drops the case, Judkins may not get suspended at all. So I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it's in the realm of possibilities. It really is still a possibility. So there's so much unknown that I do want to sit back and see a little bit of what happens while monitoring his cost and seeing if there's, you know, a big downward trajectory that I think is worth pouncing on.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I think I would be a buy, but I'm not rushing to trade for him right now. I lean buy, I guess I'm maybe more of a hold, because I think that's really smart, because I would like to see where this all lands, you know, to see exactly what I'm getting myself into with Quinshon Judkins. But at the end of the day, he's a 21-year-old running back in a great situation in my estimation. So I'm very much in on the talent, as I said. Let's shift to another wide receiver that, you know, less of a legal issue, still a legal problem that was settled today, and that's Jordan Addison. Jordan Addison, it looks like I don't know what this means, but according to Younger and Associates on Twitter, Adam Schefter quote tweeted this, or whatever the kids say, he's decided to plead to a lesser offense, which is called a wet reckless. I don't know what that means. And so he's going to pay a standard fine and complete 2 online courses. But the more important thing is now the NFL is expected to rule on his discipline. So he's likely going to get a minor suspension, maybe a couple games. So what are your thoughts on Jordan Addison? Is he a buy? Is he a sell? Is he a hold for you?
Mike was muted, and my dog, as you'll see in my screen, just jumped onto my lap and started falling off the chair. So that was horrible timing. I'm hold, lean, sell. I was not super into Jordan Addison before this. A lot of sharp people were pegging him as more of a third-year breakout kind of candidate. And I agree with your points of, you know, TJ or TD regression, TJ Hockenson. coming back, and then a rookie quarterback who I do agree is probably going to be peppering more of Jefferson, more of Hockenson, more of Jones in the pass game, and Addison will continue to be that deep threat role. Plus, Ty Felton now has a wonderful chance if he does get an early, if Addison does get an early season suspension. Ty Felton has a wonderful chance to earn a role for himself. And if he shows out in the early season, could spell even more trouble for Jordan Addison. And we've talked to, I have posited Addison being a guy who the Vikings may not look to get a second contract for, as evidenced by, you know, bringing another receiver in the draft class and the legal issues. So I lean sell. I want to stay a little bit more firm as a hold on paper, but I know myself, and if push came to shove, I'd be selling Jordan Addison.
Yeah, I'm a sell, and I've been a sell on Jordan Addison for a while. And like, to me, you talked about the touchdown regression. I mean, back-to-back seasons with 10 touchdowns and 9 touchdowns, and it's not like he finished as a wide receiver, a solidified wide receiver 2 or a back-end wide receiver 1 with those touchdown numbers. He finishes wide receiver 30 and wide receiver 22 in those seasons. So if the touchdowns go away, the bottom might fall out of Jordan Addison's value in Dynasty, even though he is a younger receiver. TJ Hockenson, you said it, he's going to be back. A rookie quarterback, a lot of times, will look to pepper their first read or second read, and I think that's going to be Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson. I do think Jordan Addison could be the odd man out in this offense, and I like the player. I like the skill set. I liked him coming out of college, but it's just the situation. It's good, but there's so many competition for targets, and I think that's bared out in his production over the past few seasons. It's like, without those touchdowns, I mean, it'd be really rough for him in terms of fantasy production. Let's move to your first player. So we got out of the weeds, and now we're just getting into who we think would be a good buy, sell, or hold. Your first player is George Kittle. And the more I thought about this, the more I liked it, especially for this season if you're a win now team. And I've got a trade idea at the end of the show that involves another tight end that I want to throw out to you. So I'll just tease that right now. You have to watch to the end to see what that is. And an idea for how to acquire George Kittle. So tell me, is George Kittle a buy, a sell, or a hold?
So Kittle is, to me, a big buy. He's currently tight end 6, going at the 6th round, 606 per Dynasty Data Lab ADP. And that is behind, you know, Sam Laporta, Colson Loveland. And I don't think it should be. He's, you know, going into his age 32 season, he's almost 32 now, turn 32 midseason. Here is point per game finishes among tight ends since 2018. Number 3, number 1, number 3. Number 4, number 2, number 6, number 1. 4 out of the last 7 seasons, all but one of his career, 7 of 8 seasons of his career. That was worded horribly. I'm going to rewind. 4 of the last 7 seasons, he has had over 15 fantasy points per game. So not only is he constantly ranking among the top 3 or 4 in tight ends and fantasy points per game, but he's also delivering an exceptionally high number of points per game that creates a very big positional advantage for you. He's been top 7 in terms of target share every year but one in his career. He's normally top 3, top 4, like he is in fantasy points per game. I don't have to bore you with why George Kittle is really good, but let's look at the fact that A, we have an offense that we all kind of believe is primed for resurgence a little bit this year, but has a receiver in Brandon Ayuk that's coming off a knee injury, Juwan Jennings, who's a fourth-year breakout, who is now in a contract dispute, and Ricky Pearsall, who has had success on a very small sample size. To me, that sounds like George Kittle is going to potentially lead tight ends in target share this year. And if there's more touchdowns for the 49ers, that is more touchdowns for George Kittle. And despite them having a down year, he had the second highest number of touchdowns in his career last season. I think there's still so much juice left to squeeze from Kittle. He has talked about playing for 2 to 3 more seasons at least, and he wants to take it, you know, a couple of, you know, year by year after that and figure out where he's going. But Kelce was just the tight end, what, 4 in fantasy points per game last season at an age 34, 35 season. So I don't see why Kittle doesn't have 2 to 3 or 3 years left of being an elite talent. And in Dynasty, that's our window, man, 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, you said it very well. I don't really have much to add. Kelce was the tight end 6 in fantasy points per game, close by enough. The way. I just looked it up. Still not a bad season. I mean, if Kelce would have had more touchdowns, he only had 3 touchdowns last year, he would have definitely been in the top 5. But you very well said, I think, Kittle, I want all the Kittle I can get my hands on in Dynasty and Redraft. I mean, even in if I have to take him at the back end of round 3, early round 4, so be it. I think he's going to get peppered with targets. I think there's a lot of uncertainty in that 49ers wide receiver room, and I think he is the certainty in that pass catching room. He is the solution to a lot of their problems if he has a good season. I mean, he just is. So let's move on to mine, another 49er, but this time I might have a different opinion. I want to see how you feel about Christian McCaffrey, but to me, he's a sell. And I understand that elite fantasy producer, if you're a win now team, you are keeping Christian McCaffrey. But I think the correct move is to sell. This has nothing to do with what he's done in the past, but the price and the value, I think it's, and now's the time. He's 29 years old. He's coming off of a major injury, and now I can supposedly cash out, according to Keep Trade Cut. And let me know what you think in the comments, chat, for one of Kenneth Walker or Caleb Johnson. Like, I could just do that. I could just swap a 29-year-old running back for 2 running backs who I think have a great chance, or one of 2 running backs who I think could break out in a major way. Yes, please. And not to brag either, but I was selling McCaffrey last year when he was the RB4 in Dynasty before last season. So the time to sell McCaffrey was before last season because of the workload that he received in the previous season. And he was trying to defy all the odds. And I looked at that and thought, this doesn't look pretty. And so I got out, but I still think he's a sell. What say you?
Yeah, I think you're selling. Like you said, the only way you're buying is if you think that McCaffrey, like an RB1 season for McCaffrey, if you want to Rams and like kind of sell your soul and get Stafford and just do what it takes to get to the big dance and win one, then that's your prerogative. I don't think selling Kenneth Walker or Caleb Johnson is a good idea to get McCaffrey. And I think it's more about, you know, when you think about where your team is likely at, if you have McCaffrey, if you're a rebuild or a mid-tier team, yeah, of course you're going to try and sell him. If you're a win now team, you might think like, oh, I want to buy or I want to hold, but I think you could squeeze a little bit more out of Kenneth Walker really for the right person. If there's somebody who really has a loaded team that thinks McCaffrey is their ticket. But my issue is selling him at market price might be tough because of the sentiment on buying Christian McCaffrey. Someone has to be willing to buy him at this price for you to sell him at that price, which is where I think it might get difficult. But yes, I agree in sentiment that we're probably selling Christian McCaffrey.
And the valuations of him could be all over the place. There's probably going to be somebody in the chat telling us, you're crazy. You shouldn't sell him Christian McCaffrey. He's going to be the RB1 overall. Look what he's done in the past, blah, blah, blah. I get it. I understand what he's done in the past. But we play Dynasty, and we have to look ahead to see what is going to happen in the future. And you look at the RB rankings over the last 5 years. Just go do it and see how fast some of these veterans fall off, even players as good as Christian McCaffrey. So, and there'll be somebody else in the chat telling us, yeah, that's a great sell or whatever. And I got, you know, I don't know, 2 firsts for Christian McCaffrey or some crazy trade like that. So I think Christian McCaffrey is one of these polarizing players that literally, I think it depends on your league. If your league is, you know, ageist, it might be tough to sell him. But if your league is wild and crazy in the wild, wild west, and somebody thinks, oh, Christian McCaffrey's the missing piece, then you might be able to get a haul for him. You might be able to get Caleb Johnson plus maybe something extra on top. Who knows? Let's move on. And I'm interested to hear what, because you were Mr. James Cook, right, last year.
Yeah, it's
you
my
were Mr. It's, James Cook.
It's so my
James
favorite
Cook
thing.
Is the player.
It's my favorite thing to be in on a player at the right time and then be on the right side of history again when I flip my stance. And we have another player later on in the show that I'm going to do that with again. So James Cook, I was a huge proponent of him. And then I started just kind of seeing how the landscape was. And my biggest thing with James Cook was we're not giving him enough credit for what he can do in this Bills system, particularly if he's going to be the lead dog getting all the opportunity. Now, the biggest drop off was his opportunity share from 2023 to 2024, 62% down to 58%. And we saw multiple key moments throughout the season when it was Ray Davis or Ty Johnson that were in the lineup getting touches and not James Cook. I'm missing somebody in that group of people that was active. But my point being, his target share isn't great. It dropped, actually, especially with the inclusion of Ray Davis. And so he was an efficiency guy last year. It was all touchdowns, 18 touchdowns, 7.5% touchdown rate. That's not sustainable. And further, his value has just gotten too pumped up. He's 26 years old. He has not shown the ability to be a true workhorse back. He has shown the ability to be hyper efficient with his touchdown scoring, but that's not sticky. That's not something we buy into. And so he was the RB19 last year, the RB11 in fantasy points per game this year. He is now the RB15, three spots ahead of Kenneth Walker. We're talking about RBs you could sell for Kenneth Walker. I'd sell James Cook for Kenneth Walker in a heartbeat, and I would potentially give up more on the James Cook side if I had to get Kenneth Walker, because I don't have James Cook above Kenneth Walker in my dynasty rankings. I think this is going to continue to be a gross outlook to where you're going to have to either get a massively increased target share from James Cook or sustained hyper efficiency in the touchdown department, neither of which to me are good bets right now.
Yeah, he is one of the, like, when you're doing your research and you're looking at the game logs and, you know, you're seeing games where he has a sub 50% snap share, or even in, let's just say, week 11, and I don't know if he got injured or whatever during this game. I don't think he did. 38% snap share against Kansas City, 19.7 fantasy points, RB7 on the week because he scored two touchdowns. He had 9 carries, 2 of them just so happened to be in the red zone, 6 targets, 5 receptions. So, and you just look up and down, and towards the end of the season, you would have thought, oh, James Cook putting up all this production, he should be getting more snaps. Actually, no, he was getting fewer and fewer and fewer snaps as the season went on. So I completely agree with you. And I was a person that was also in on James Cook last year. And now you can get me to touch him with a 10-foot pole this year in dynasty or redraft because of the weird contract situation. I think he's got a capable running back behind him in Ray Davis. Ty Johnson, I think, is okay too. So I think the Bills, I don't think there's any way the Bills pay him. I would be shocked if they do.
I'd be
so
shocked.
For all those reasons, I agree with you. I would be selling James Cook as well. Let's talk
real
about
quick,
a player.
He did. Yes. Sorry, real quick. He did have a toe injury that he suffered in week 5. I think it's something like turf toe, but
okay.
It couldn't have been as bad as turf toe because they usually miss games like games. And he missed, I believe, one game from it and then came back, and his opportunity really wasn't any different. So, I mean, maybe it impacted him a little bit, but he almost looked better after he got the injury than before. So I don't take too much weight into that.
Yeah, he ranked number 35 in snap share amongst running backs last year, yet somehow finishes the RB8 overall, 11 in fantasy points per game. That's not sustainable at all. Let's talk about a quarterback that I honestly, I tried to quit Kyler Murray. I tried to quit him, but I just keep looking at the stats, Matt. I keep looking at the stats, and I kind of hate to say this, but Kyler Murray's kind of been the very picture of consistency throughout his career. The problem is, for some people, that it isn't quite what they wanted, right? I mean, we saw Kyler Murray at the beginning of his career. I remember the days where Kyler Murray was a first round, second round startup pick after the 2020 season where he finishes the quarterback 3 in fantasy points per game, 24.4 fantasy points per game in 2020. And there's no doubt that he's fallen off since then, but he's never finished lower than 18.1 fantasy points per game. We know he's going to run the ball. He had his fewest rushing attempts last season, but he still ran the ball 78 times, which ranked number 8 amongst quarterbacks. And he had 572 rushing yards, which was number 4 amongst quarterbacks. And he's gonna basically, what you can count on with Kyler Murray is about 400 to 500 rushing yards, you know, 80, 90 carries, 4 or 5 touchdowns, 20 passing touchdowns. Maybe on a good year, he gets 25 or 26 passing touchdowns. That's who Kyler Murray is. And what's wrong with that? I don't know. And the fact, and this has all, it has everything to do with cost. Because you go and look at any player and you give me a price and I'll either say, and this is exactly what we're doing tonight, I'll buy him or I'll sell him. And Kyler Murray is currently quarterback 16. Quarterback 16. He's never finished lower than quarterback 12 in fantasy points per game, assuming he plays more than 10 or 11 games in a season, which there have been seasons where he misses a significant amount of time, most notably in 2023, where he tore his ACL, right? Or no, 2022, he tore his ACL. So again, what am I missing here? I'm buying Kyler Murray and I'm taking advantage of the people like me who just are frustrated with Kyler Murray because he's not this top 5 quarterback in fantasy anymore.
Yeah, I think you made a good point with the total rushing attempts and despite, because I'm always the one that brings up them decreasing year over year, but it's good perspective to mention that it's still top 10 amongst quarterbacks. And this is an offense that was shockingly high in success rate last season. And we expect more out of Marvin Harrison Jr. this season. We do expect a step forward. So I'm agreeing with you here. I'm a buy with Kyler Murray. A little bit more of a reluctant buy just because I am afraid of what happens if that rushing trend does continue to decrease, but looking at where he's at around quarterbacks and where they're ranked, I'm willing to take that risk because there are a lot of immobile quarterbacks in that range and the odds of Kyler Murray outrushing them are still very high.
We'll get into one of your guys here in a minute, but I would trade that guy for Kyler Murray in a heartbeat.
I was gonna really say that too when we talk
he's
about
really
it.
And he's really close to where Kyler Murray's ranked on Keep Trade Cut. But let's go to a wide receiver and let's go to your next guy, and that's Jaden Reed. So what are we doing with Jaden Reed? We buying, we selling, or are we holding?
I'm holding. I put him down as my first sell.
Very confident.
I put him down as my first sell on the show sheet. And then I was like, maybe that's not fair, but every time I go and look at his stats, I just want to trade every share I have. And then I watch a big game from him and I want to buy every share that's possible because I just don't get why he's not playing. He continues to come off the field for 2 wide receiver sets. And right now in his current ADP, he's wide receiver 43 with the ADP of 910. That's why I'm holding, because that's still relatively cheap for me to buy into his upside in this offense. The issue is, what the hell is his upside in this offense? No one knows. No one knows, because he was 73rd amongst receivers in snap share last year and route percentage. He was 60th in target rate, whereas he was 26th among receivers in targets per route run the year before. So his targets per route run dropped. His snap share and route percentage, thank God, did increase year over year from his rookie season, but he continues to only get these scripted touches. It just blows my mind, though, that he ranked second in Player Profiler's target separation. He ranked 11th in yards per route run. He had such an he had an explosive week one, 6 targets, 4 receptions, a touchdown, 138 receiving yards, 33 fantasy points. And then he disappears. And then in week 4, 7 catches, 8 targets, 1 touchdown, 139 yards, 27 fantasy points. And then he kind of goes dark again. It just doesn't make sense why there's not consistency there, especially in a season where Christian Watson was hurt. Now, the Jordan Love injury and the way the Packers ran that offense, from all the people who I'm seeing that love Jaden Reed, that's their biggest point, is this LaFleur offense was really makeshift, heavily dependent on Jacobs because, you know, Love wasn't mobile. It's okay. Maybe that's what's going on. I'm willing to see what happens. I'm not going to go out and buy heavily because, quite honestly, it seems irresponsible to buy that heavily on somebody who isn't seeing the field. But I am holding because I do think the potential is there, and sharp guys like Matt Harmon are all over the Jaden Reed breakout this year. So I have to give them credit, even though I don't necessarily fully see where they're coming from.
Here's the deal. Here's what I need to know. Is he going to get a 70-75% snap share on a consistent basis? Because if he does, if he will, I'll buy Jaden Reed where he currently is. But if he's going to continue to get this, you know, one game he's on the field 70% of the time, the next game 55%, the next game 61%. Oh, and the next game after that only 47%. It doesn't make any sense to me. Matt LaFleur has to be the dumbest smart guy that's coaching football right now, because to me, Jaden Reed's one of the best players on your offense. Why don't you just stick him in the slot, have Matthew Golden on the outside and whatever other outside wide receiver you want, whether it's Romeo Dubs or Dontavian Wicks, and 3 wide receiver sets. I don't understand. I think Jaden Reed proved at Michigan State that he was this dynamic playmaker. So I've always loved the prospect. I don't understand how they're using him. So I guess I'm a hold too, but I don't think I'm rushing out to buy him. You know, I maybe at this price. I mean, if I'm a rebuilding team and I have Davante Adams or Chris Godwin, I mean, I don't love just getting Jaden Reed for those guys. I think that maybe I can get a little bit more on top, but that's where his value is. So I guess that's my long way of saying I'm probably holding. And there's actually a breakout wide receiver I like better than Jaden Reed, and that's Khalil Shakir, who's ranked lower. So yeah, I don't know, man. I love the player. That's why I kind of low key do not like this Packer situation. If the offense is completely different this year, I need to believe it I need to see it to believe it, rather. So we'll see. Here's one for you, just to completely break your brain. Marvin Harrison Jr. And I think I'm going to be about like Matt Babich was with Jaden Reed. And I think I'm holding Marvin Harrison Jr. if I have him. I'm certainly not rushing out to buy him. I still believe in Marvin Harrison Jr. I also think Arizona has to find a way to unlock Marvin Harrison Jr. because they didn't take him number 4, top 5 in the draft for no reason. I will say this. Marvin Harrison Jr. was number 6 amongst wide receivers in air yards last year. So if Kyler Murray can figure out how to connect with Marvin Harrison down the field, look out. He was also number 7 in deep targets amongst wide receivers, which makes sense. Again, it's a situation where everything's the same in Arizona. The quarterback, the play caller, probably the scheme. So that doesn't bode well for him. But, God, they took him number 4 overall. Why was this their plan for using Marvin Harrison Jr. the way that they did? It just doesn't seem to make any sense. And this isn't just a Kyle Pitts situation where they take this guy super high and then they're like, let's go sign Jonnu Smith because we like him better. I don't know. The Cardinals haven't really signed anybody else at wide receiver, but I'm holding Marvin Harrison Jr. because I find it a perplexing, complicated, frustrating situation. What do you think?
I lean more towards buy than hold. Okay. Because if we're buying Kyler Murray and we're buying the Cardinals offense as a unit to at least get a little bit more efficient in the passing department, if they're going to be as successful of an offense as they were in 2024, I think we're taking the hype of Harrison Jr. and taking the too high, you know, overinflated evaluation because of what we thought he was as a prospect. I think we're letting that fool us a little bit here, because 885 and 8 on 62 receptions is not that bad of a rookie year. I think he had such high expectations that people are staring a good rookie year in the face. And we visually saw what was preventing him from at least capturing more of that ceiling that we thought was there. And a lot of it was connection based. A lot of it was Kyler Murray seeing the field. A lot of it was usage. So I have to believe that some of that is going to get fixed. And now at his current ADP, which admittedly I'm not exactly sure where that's at, but just given the range of some of the receivers that are going near, so he's 303 wide receiver 10. Yeah, that's a firm hold. I'm leaning sell at that price. I would take, he's ranked ahead of McConkey. I would take McConkey over Harrison any day of the week. Emotionally, I'm buying at that price. At that actual price, I'm probably selling just because this is going to be a run-centric offense. Trey McBride is kind of the Kittle of that team, where he and the Kelsey of that team, where he's kind of the lead dog, and even the number one receiver is the number two. So I think there's room for him to have a much better season than he had last year. I will say I am skeptical on the wide receiver 10 evaluation.
Yeah, I still think he's too high in Dynasty. If I could get out, I mean, if I needed a quarterback and I could swap him for CJ Stroud or Caleb Williams, I would do that, I think, in a heartbeat. I don't, and maybe that burns me, because I mean, I guess there's a world where he jumps up into the elite tier of wide receivers. I just don't see it, because I think Trey McBride is Kyler Murray's preferred target. I think he has an okay year this year. It might even be better than this past year. I mean, you're right. He did have a 22% target share, which isn't anything to scoff at, but, and he ranked number 20 in targets because of that. But I just, you kind of have to be the elite option and the number one option in your offense. And I'm not sure that he is, at least not yet. So yeah, I think I would be lean sell, especially if I could get one of those quarterbacks. But let us know what you think. All right, this is I was my eyebrows went up to the top of my head when I saw this name on the show sheet. So you're gonna have to explain yourself, Quentin Johnston. All right, I know Mike Williams retired, which is the other piece of news that we just brushed by at the top. So, I mean, do you think that opens up a spot for him, or do you think that matters at all? Like,
I mean, Mike Williams going played on? Like six games in the past three seasons. I don't think that matters.
Yeah. So it says here, I am buying Quentin Johnston
at wide receiver 69. I'm buying Quentin Johnston. So okay. Opposite of James Cook, super out on this guy, but now I'm in. Now I'm in. You're telling me the guy who finishes the wide receiver 37 somehow in fantasy points per game last year is now the wide receiver 69, nice, ADP of the 14th round. It's literally, at this point, it's basically free real estate. You get a free shot on a guy who had over 700 receiving yards last year, and per Dwayne McFarland, when he ran at least 85% of the routes, was averaging 14.9 fantasy points per game. We've seen the ceiling. We've seen the red zone target distribution. He had a 26% red zone target share last year for Los Angeles. And the biggest thing, I'm not going to get too drowned out in the stats, because you know, we've seen the ceiling games. We've seen that somehow he's getting 10, 14 target games in this offense. Let's talk about the big thing. We don't talk a lot about a overarching NFL news, but A lot of second round picks still don't have a contract, Seth. Trey Harris does not have a contract. Trey Harris is a holdout, and he's missing valuable time. He's missing. He went to the mandatory like mini camp, but then anything after that, he has not been there. And you know who's been there? Running routes, getting the plays in. Their first practice was either yesterday or today, and Trey Harris was not there. We love the new blood. I love Trey Harris, but he's missing valuable time. And if this holdout continues, or I should say the longer this holdout continues, the longer it's going to take for him to get up to speed. I wouldn't be shocked if we see one of the worst fantasy seasons from second round picks or second round rookies in quite some time because of how many of them are still not there. Jack Besh, not there. Travion Henderson, don't believe he's there. Judkins is definitely not there. So all these second round picks open up opportunities for other people, i.e. a Dylan Sampson, i.e. a Ramondre Stevenson, i.e. a Quentin Johnston, to be more valuable than we think early on. And at wide receiver 69, for his ceiling of a guy who can put up 32, 16, 22, 22, to name a few weeks throughout the last season, in a week, that's very big weekly ceiling. And we saw the opportunity getting 10, 14 targets, 22% target share, 26% red zone target share. That's great opportunity, and it's very cheap. So I think it's very worthwhile, even if you just try and flip them this season as a rebuilding team. I don't think it's dumb at all to buy a third year receiver who finished as inside the top 40 outside of the top 60 receivers now in value.
Yeah, I think at the price, I'm okay with it because you said it, he's free. But my issues would be the offense in general doesn't pass the ball a ton. Now, the counter to that would be, okay, well, what are their options in the passing game? Because they really don't have a tight end. I mean, if you want to make the case for Aronde Gadsden, I mean, Will Disley, I believe, is at the top of the depth chart right now. And then, of course, Mike Williams retires and Trey Harris is holding out. So I guess those targets have to go somewhere. I guess that's the counterpoint to that. So maybe I'm talking myself out of that argument. Out of all these players in this offense, just you would think, if assuming they have Trey Harris, I mean, Ladd McConkey should just get peppered with targets this year. I mean, Jesus Christ, that gets me excited just thinking about how this offense schematically should work. I mean, I know that they like to run at a slow pace and run the ball a ton, but God, dang, like that should just be amazing. Go ahead.
Real quick, I know we're behind, but heat check. So trades that are in Dynasty Data Lab, solo trades with Quentin Johnston, rapid fire. You tell me who you're taking. Quentin Johnston or Nick Chubb?
Quentin Johnston.
Quentin Johnston or Roman Wilson?
Ooh, probably lean Roman Wilson, but it's close.
Quentin Johnston or Tyler Algier?
Tyler Algier.
Wow. Why?
Because he's
so
the
he
backup
can sit on your bench for 15 out of 17 weeks.
Well, if, you know,
and maybe if
Bijan
Robinson gets hurt.
Yeah, Bijan had a massive workload too last year. Like, so the same arguments we're using against Saquon Barkley, we could easily use against Bijan. The only difference is obviously he's way younger and can probably manage the workload a lot better in back-to-back seasons, but yeah.
All right.
So anyway, I think those are all fair trades. I think those are all, and like you said, I think I'm not as in on Quentin Johnston as you are, but at that price, I can't really put up too much of a stink about it. All right. I teased this at the beginning of the show. We're running a little bit behind, so I'll try to get through it. Sam Laporta. Okay, my beloved Iowa tight ends. I have him listed as a hold, but I'm really thinking about making him a sell. In fact, I think I'm just going to make him a sell. I'm not sure what happened last year, to be honest with you, because there are a lot of pass catchers in this offense, so I guess finding volume can be an issue at times, but his target share went from 21.1% in his rookie season to 17% in his second year. It's not horrible, but still, it's a significant drop. And honestly, those seven touchdowns that he caught, and he caught 10 touchdowns the year before, those seven touchdowns really saved him from really dropping like a rock. Because, you know, tight end eight, I mean, isn't real. I mean, you can find tight end seven, tight end eight, tight end nine based on how the tight ends finish every year. So he had a pretty much an unremarkable season in comparatively to what he did in his rookie season. And there's a lot of target competition in Detroit, and Ben Johnson's gone. I get it. He's a young player. He's tantalizing to some people, but here's the trade. How much on top of, and this is kind of unconventional, but how much could you get on top of George Kittle if you were willing to give a rebuilding team Sam LaPorta? If you were willing to ship Sam LaPorta for George Kittle, could you get a second round rookie pick on top of that or more?
I think you could potentially get a first if you got the right buyer.
I don't know if you could get a first, but I might start there and see what happens. And if
some of the leagues I play in, man, you'll never know.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I think Sam LaPorta still has cachet, and I just last year is very perplexing to me, and I could be dead wrong about this because I guess who his best comparable player is on Player Profiler. It's George Kittle. I don't know if that's just a lazy Iowa tight end comparison. I don't know. I don't agree with that.
That's a shit comp.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. I think he's more of a Mark. Bad comp. I think he's more of like a Mark Andrews type player, maybe like a Hunter Henry. I think that's probably a better comp.
Explosive Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
That's basically Andrews though.
So there's the trade offer for a win now team is giving up Sam LaPorta, because I think George Kittle is just gonna, I want George Kittle everywhere. So let's go to yours. This is interesting, and we'll rapid fire these last two because we're up against the clock. Cam Ward. Are you buying, selling, or holding Cam Ward?
I am probably gonna regret this because I said the same thing for CJ Stroud as the rookie, but I'm selling Cam Ward. Because he is at quarterback 15 right now, and I simply don't think that that's a sustainable value. And when we look at, first of all, the offense is not great. I do think they could be better than expected, but even as a rebuilding team, we were never invested in this quarterback class that much anyway. And I think that's the biggest thing to focus on. Is the only time I'm buying Cam Ward is if I'm a rebuilding team. And if I'm a rebuilding team, I would be okay with still going and trading for Kyler Murray. Because if you can't, I mean, we're, again, 2 to 3 year windows. So you got to try and build a team in 2 to 3 years. And if you're taking 4 to 5 years to rebuild a team, which has happened to people, it's happened to me, but it's not the way, it's not your goal. And a move like Cam Ward to Kyler Murray is a way that you can accelerate your rebuild, getting a guy that's viable for multiple seasons. Even if you tear down to a more risky, but Bryce Young or a Tua, or all the way down and grab like an Anthony Richardson plus picks and plus assets. I think it's the right move with a mid fourth round evaluation. I think it's the right move even on the rebuilding side, to cash out and just accrue assets and value the way you see fit for somebody who is in the middle of the pack and thinks that they're a young quarterback away from building a dynasty.
Yeah, I thought I would disagree with you on this, but then I saw the names on Keep Trade Cut, and Trevor Lawrence is ranked back-to-back with Cam Ward. I would take Trevor Lawrence in a heartbeat for Cam Ward. I want Trevor Lawrence. Also, Bryce Young, you could tear down to Bryce Young, and I would feel pretty good about that based on the way Bryce Young played at the end of the year, and they had Tet McMillan. So again, I agree with you. I think he's going to have his ups and downs, Cam Ward. I do like the prospect, and I guess there is a world where he does a CJ Stroud and makes us all look like fools. But again, he's also pretty close to Kyler Murray. And that's, I would take Kyler Murray in a heartbeat for Cam Ward. I would take the certainty of Kyler Murray in a second for Cam Ward.
And he's not a rusher. So like he needs to be a high volume passer.
Yeah. Let's talk about your last guy and the way this shook out. I took all the polarizing players at the start. Cause Judkins was one of my guys, Addison. So this is your last guy, or this is our last guy we're going to talk about. Chuba Hubbard. What are you doing? Buying, selling, or holding Chuba Hubbard?
I'm holding Chuba Hubbard, right? He's still at the right age to where we have a lot of juice left to squeeze out of his production. But I don't know what happens with Rico Dowdle in the mix here. I still don't necessarily know how I feel long-term about his value. He's RB21 as of right now, and what we know is that RB1s in a Dave Canales offense generally get a ton of opportunity. So if I am a win-now team, I do want to monitor the situation closely. I do feel like he had some unsustainable opportunity in production last year because the offense was so bad. I do think there's almost a little bit of a downside to the offense improving this year, which means tighter game scripts and potentially less targets, tighter defenses, less garbage time. And I'm just not sure what to do long-term. RB21 is a pretty fair evaluation for the short term, but he's somebody who was down at the bottom of the barrel and came back up. So if he's in a 60-40 split with Rico Dowdle, his value is going to plummet. I don't think that happens right away, and I'm not selling now because of it, but I am worried that this bell cow Chuba Hubbard we got last year is not what we're going to be seeing for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I will say the only evidence that we have for Dave Canales is that he likes to use one running back. So I think I would be a hold, lean a buy if I needed a running back. I think, you know, Chuba Hubbard could be a cheap way to plug that hole. And I'm looking at keep trade cut. I don't think, I mean, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think people are way higher on Ricky Pearsall and Matthew Golden than they are on Chuba Hubbard right now. So I think that you could get Chuba Hubbard for like dirt cheap, really. I don't think people are very high on him, and I could be wrong, but that's just my feeling based on, you know, negotiating trades and feeling out those dynasty streets and whatnot. So I lean buy, I'm buying Chuba Hubbard. What am I talking about? I like Chuba Hubbard. I like the situation. I'll disagree with you for a change.
If you're a contender for this year, I get it. Otherwise, I don't. Because, look, with the other evidence we have with Canales also, by the way, is with shitty running back rooms. So, yeah, like, of course, he's giving the only good running back he has in his room all the touches. Like, he gave Rashad White all the touches, and White wasn't even that good.
Yeah. How dare you slander the name of Rashad White?
And then Hubbard was the only guy worth a damn in that offense. They drafted Jonathan Brooks and his knees couldn't handle it. So it's just interesting to me that they draft Jonathan Brooks in the second round. They have to give Chuba Hubbard all these touches. Then they get Rico Dowdle and they still want to, you know, try and get Brooks back at some point, even though that's going to take a while for recovery. It's just all interesting to me. And it just doesn't instill enough confidence for me to be buying. I think there's other assets around him that are better. I would rather spend more money and get a Kenneth Walker. Actually, yeah. You'd have to spend a little bit more. I'd rather spend more money and more capital and get Kenneth Walker. That's my last statement on Chuba Hubbard.
I do like Kenneth Walker, so I am all for buying Kenneth Walker. That is it. That is 13 players we covered in just a little over an hour. Matt Babich, do you have any final words of wisdom for the people before we end the show?
If you get into a car crash, I would stay at the scene and check on the other party. I would not run up the exit ramp and run away. That's what Rashee Rice did, by the way.
I didn't know if this was personal experience. I didn't know if you were running away from the scene of a crime today and if you still had a warrant out for your arrest or something like that.
No. But if I did it the Rashee Rice way, I would get a warrant out for my arrest and then I would turn myself in because my blood alcohol content and the drugs got slightly less out of my system, and then they couldn't charge me with a DUI, which probably would have happened.
Allegedly, right?
Allegedly.
All right, let's not get into any trouble here. That is Matt Babich. You can follow him at Babich_Matt10. You can follow me on Twitter at Seth_DIEWOLD. You can follow the show on Twitter. Go follow the show on Twitter at FF Dynasty Table. Click the like button, subscribe to the channel for more content. Click the alarm bell until it goes ding on the YouTube to be notified of new content when it drops. And until next time, nobody cares about Aaron Rodgers. Have a great part of your day, whatever part of your day you're in. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.